friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 310, as this week we bring you the first hour of WWF SummerSlam 2002. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I would be joined by one half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Mr. Jim Valley. Jim will kind of be here. We'll explain that in a minute. But this week's guest host, an old friend of mine and longtime colleague of mine at the Pro Wrestling Torch, legendary columnist Sean Radican is here. So, Sean, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine and return to 2002 when Long Island was the party capital of the world?
Yeah, I'm excited. This is a good show.
Okay. Yeah, this is. And, yep, the listeners voted. They voted for the fans' choice, and that's SummerSlam 2002. So, not too surprising here. Now, Jim Valley is still, he's still suffering from ulcerated laryngitis. He can't use his voice. However, we have come up with an idea for Jim to participate in the show. Ken Banks is our sponsor, and he's guest hosted a couple times, former indie wrestler, owner of Ken and Tex Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. Say hi, Ken.
Hello, everybody.
All right, so we have Jim Valley watching the show with us, and anytime Jim wants to chime in with something, he is going to text Ken, and Ken is going to say it for him. Jim, is that right?
He just confirmed that that is, in fact, correct.
Okay, so we have Jim here, we have Sean here, and I guess I'm still here. All right, let's see what we have going on. Oh, yeah, our patron, go sign up, patreon.com/waybackplaybackpodcast. WrestleMania 17 just went up this weekend. If you, from behind the paywall, finally you'll get to experience 4 hours of me and Jim doing WrestleMania 17. And it's a good show. It's a really good show. Even if you decide not to have us on commentary with it. So check it out, as little as $4.50 a month. Plus, it's ad-free, so you won't have to hear me talking about patreon.com/waybackplayback as much. Meanwhile, on the charts this week, with our podcast charted in the United States, Canada, France, Great Britain, India, and Australia. We are back in Australia. Chartable had us as the 60th most listened to wrestling podcast of all time in Australia. I have no idea how they know this, but thank you very much to all of our listeners in Australia, down under, where it's, I don't know, like 12 hours later and probably winter. It's great to have you guys aboard, and we appreciate it. You know, the one thing I've wanted to do on this podcast for the past few years is I wanted to collect all the old episodes of Way Back Playback from when we were behind the paywall and find a way to get them out to you people in the audience, especially those who just now picked up on the show over the past couple years. And we've done that. We've done that on patreon.com/waybackplayback with the cooperation of the Pro Wrestling Torch. Most of our episodes from the Torch days are up there right now, and we're still adding some. We'll keep adding some over the next few weeks. Just to give you an idea of what's been added, in the month of August, we've put in the old PW Torch livecast that Jim Valley and I did with the 2016 PW Torch brand extension draft, which was, you'll either love that or you'll hate that. That's really all I can say. We put in WrestleMania 17. We put in WrestleMania 17, all 4 hours of that with myself and Jim Valley. For people who have been missing Jim during his run on the disabled list, you get to hear that. Put in Saturday Night's Main Event from July 1990, where the build-up for SummerSlam 1990 and Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude. We put in Super Brawl 3, a great show from 1992. 3 hours worth of that, including the big White Castle of Fear match. And more stuff is getting added each week. Plus, each week, you will get an early release of the episode before we add the commercials to it. An early release of Way Back Playback with no commercials. What more could you possibly want? You can get the archives and ad-free episodes for as low as $4.50 a month. You can get all the stuff we can cram in there, including bonus matches and features, for $10 a month. It's all at patreon.com/waybackplayback. All right, since we're going to be a little short on the first hour of SummerSlam, we decided it's bonus match time, and Sean has won the toss. He will get to choose the bonus match. He chose the bonus match, which he wanted to add to this show. There will be another bonus match that Ken and I will be doing for the Patreons at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And Sean, given the choice between a 2002 match and a Kamala match, chose the 2002 match, and everybody go to the YouTube and type in Ron Killings versus Monty Brown, August 21st, 2002. It'll be the first Ron Killings versus Monty Brown match to pop up, and it will say full match from NWA TNA Pay-Per-View 10. Is everybody there? Is everybody on this match?
Yep,
I'm here.
Okay. Sean is here. Sean is lead. If Ken has something to say, he will probably chime in though. Let's see. Okay, and actually, we'll probably talk to Ken about. If things get slow, we'll probably talk to Ken about Ken and Tex Pet Care. So there we go. So okay, now everybody go to 5 seconds in. Skip the beginning, and you'll get at 5 seconds. We have the tail of the tape on Impact Plus with pictures of Ron Killings and Monty Brown. Now is everybody there?
1 second.
Thumbs up.
Okay, so now that we're all here, we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And here we are. It's the time. It's the moment of truth, so to speak. Ron Killings' first title defense as NWA champion against Monty Brown on a TNA, NWA TNA Impact, whatever pay-per-view. Wow. From the Asylum in Nashville, Tennessee. Sean, what do you remember about this?
It sucked.
Well, thank you. Let's see. This is Monty Brown, though.
Not a lot. But, I remember Monty Brown seemed like someone with a lot of potential at the time.
And, yes.
I didn't think too, of Ron Killings. Not too big of a fan, but
okay, so,
I was enjoying.
So it never occurred to you that, say, Ron Killings would be in WWE on the year 2020 and they'd be doing specials about him on WWE Network?
No, and he'd look exactly the same.
No, that's amazing. All right, there's Jeremy Borash in the ring. All right. Okay, and oh boy, the TNA Asylum is just packed. Wouldn't you agree?
I can't even see it right now. Oh, sure is.
Yes. All right. And here he is, your champion, Ron the Truth Killings. He is the truth. He is the truth. He has defeated, a couple of weeks before this, he had defeated Ken Shamrock for the title. And boy, that was memorable, wasn't it? WWE can't handle the truth. What say you to that, Sean?
He's handled them for quite a long time. Yep.
The truth prevails. All right. A lot of big Ron Killings fans there. So what would you say is more impressive, guys? This audience or the social distance audience in the WWE Performance Center?
This audience is probably better than the social distance one, I would say.
And there's a Goldilocks fan in the crowd. She's made her way out of social media. All right. So not only the braids, but the multicolored tips of the braids. Okay, big physical face-off here. So yeah, Monty Brown got into WWE as part of the ECW relaunch. He was Marcus Corvone, and then he left to take care of his family after I forget whether his brother or sister passed away.
He never came back after that, right?
Never came back, no. But yeah, I'm kind of impressed with the dance, though. Oh, there you go.
There's Scott Armstrong.
Yes, there is, young Scott Armstrong. Oh, by the and yeah, Ron Killings is the heel here because Impact. That's why. Okay, so. While we're talking about that, we have our sponsor, Ken of Ken and Tex Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. Ken, how busy are things in the Bangor, Maine area here in the summer season?
Things are super, super busy. Maine has done a pretty good job of maintaining our COVID-19 outbreak, so people are traveling again. Everybody's going a lot of places, having a lot of fun again. Hopefully they're doing so responsibly and they're distancing properly. But all I know is that they need somebody to walk their dog and watch their cats. And Pat, who do you think they call for that?
They call Ken and Tech. They call Ken and Tech's Pet Care of Bangor, Maine at kenandtech.com, KENANDTEK.com.
Yes, sir. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Instagram. Find us anywhere but Twitter, because Twitter, of course, is a garbage heap.
Yes. Although Ken is yes. Although I have to be on Twitter kind of for this to promote the show.
I understand.
Yes, but real Pat McNeil. But anyway, all right. Oh, and somebody in the crowd has a penis, Sean. Do you have any comment on that? I mean, there was a sign and everything.
There's okay. A Mark Brunell Jaguars jersey in the crowd.
That's impressive, a Mark Brunell jersey. Well, Mark Brunell.
There's one fan.
Yes. Well, no, his other fan was Joe Gibbs. I don't know if you remember this. Mark Brunell played for the Redskins, and he met Joe Gibbs, you know, when he was going into free agency, and they met, I think, at like a restaurant, and Mark Brunell had to do the Heimlich maneuver on Joe Gibbs. So obviously Brunell was the starter that year for the Redskins, and he set a record, I believe, of 20 completing 26 straight passes in a game against the Jaguars. Oh. So, Denny, this chair shot's for you.
I don't remember that.
Most people don't hold up signs for former NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion Denny Brown, but there you go. All right, so August 2002, Ken, you were on the Indies.
Yes, I was having a lot of bad matches that year.
That's okay.
I debuted in 2001, and I didn't really learn how to work until sometime around 2006. So right. I was stinking up National Guard armories everywhere I went in 2002.
That's okay.
Thank you.
I never learned how to work, but I was a manager, so that really wasn't
fair enough.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh, is he going to pounce him? Now, keep in mind.
Not enough room.
Keep in mind, this is not the main event of this week's TNA pay-per-view. The main event is AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn doing three stages of hell, whatever the TNA version of it was.
Did they ever bring in his tag partner, Air Paris, into TNA back then?
Do you remember? I want to say they did, but I don't remember them doing anything with him.
Because he showed up on the Talking Shop-a-Mania pay-per-view a couple weeks ago.
Good for him.
And they made fun of him.
Well, I think they made fun of everybody on the Talking Shop pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Including the people who bought the Talking Shop pay-per-view. All right, there he is. Yeah. Overhead, belly to belly. Shh. Yeah, Monty Brown was a guy. I mean, you know, at the time you were thinking, maybe TNA can make their own stars. I don't know that outside of AJ Styles, I don't know that that ever happened, though.
Jeff Jarrett.
Okay. Oh, we get an ad? Why did we get an ad for this? Why is YouTube putting ads on during my bonus match? And why is it a political ad? Well, I know why it's a political ad. There's an election coming up. Oh, yeah, okay. This is political. Since I'm in South Carolina, this political ad tells me that Lindsey Graham sucks and, you know, and obviously, since I'm a Republican living in South Carolina, I've known that for 20 years already, that Lindsey Graham sucks. Okay, anyway, we're back. Sorry about the interruption, folks. Oh, you can watch those.
It did surprise me, though, that he, you know what I mean, just the way he quietly left the industry after Monty Brown, and like after looking to have so much potential. And
because nobody,
you thought when he went
leaves,
to,
nobody quietly leaves the industry.
No, but he had size and he had the size and everything.
Former NFL player. I don't know how far
check
he got.
Check the boxes.
Yeah. I think he made it to training camp with the Patriots. I don't know anything beyond that, but yeah.
Scott, but yeah, even if he could say you're a college athlete, that was kind of good enough,
absolutely.
You know?
is that Chad Damiani that they're pimping back there? Oh, Chad. Okay. All right.
I can't see.
Well, this crowd is obviously, boy, both wrestlers are exhausted here. Oh, there we go. Look at how thrilled this audience is to see the NWA World title being defended here at the Asylum.
They're practicing social distancing, so they're staying still.
They're practicing social distancing by staying home, I think. Oh, there we go. Nice move by Ron Killings.
This is when they let them in for free, though, right?
I think we're at about that point, yeah. And this is when they were running out of money, which is why they had to sell to Panda Energy. This is supposedly the week that they couldn't afford Disco Inferno, so they left them at home. Yeah. I'm not, I wish I were making that up. Right. Oh, here we go. Okay, so we got the chin lock on. Oh. Wait. Can you... Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Monty Brown's selling the hell out of this thing.
That's, well, good for him. Yeah. Good for him. He's doing a, he's doing something here.
The two young men in the background are engaged in conversation during the comeback.
Yeah, I was wondering if those guys. I was wondering if we were interrupting some sort of drug deal going on there. You know? I don't know. I mean, that guy could look kind of sketchy. Okay.
You still have TNA Chad at Hotmail. I wonder if that email still works.
I'm not. So Chad Damiani, I think he was Deli Boy on the WCW.com thing back in the day. Which I
that's Deli, way
Deli,
back.
Deli Boy is a much cooler name than Chad Damiani. Anyway. Chad Damiani sound like he should have been taking on Ken at the National Guard Armory.
Yeah. I think he may have at one point.
Okay, yeah. I'm pretty sure I asked you that. Who was the biggest, who was the most famous guy you ever wrestled?
I actually wrestled Bam Bam Bigelow in his final match.
Oh, my goodness.
No, wow. True story. In Newport Richey, Florida, it was a match of Bam Bam Bigelow and Ralph Mosca wrestled
me and my
tag team partner Marcus Hall. What's that?
Roughhouse Ralph Mosca. Yes.
Roughhouse Ralph Mosca. That's right.
See, I know my crappy FIP wrestler, Sean.
Yes, you do. That's excellent.
All right. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I was wondering whether Roughhouse was the guy who brought the ring or something because he was, you know, because he was on.
Are these the same people that were going to ROH shows earlier this year before the pandemic?
The people in the crowd here?
Yeah,
I think so. they're coming back. They've got a bubble in Baltimore, Maryland. I don't know how it's possible for anybody to have a bubble in Baltimore, Maryland, but apparently Ring of Honor is going to have one.
In honor of Jim Valley, Pat, Baltimore, Maryland is where you live, correct?
Thank you. Very good, Ken.
You're very welcome.
Yes.
Jim will appreciate that.
I'm sure he will. Oh, boy. Have some fun here. All right, there we go, the big power slam. Yes. Oh, Rachel, somebody's got a sign for Rachel. I don't know which Rachel. Oh, there we go. Oh, the big splash. That's been known to finish off absolutely nobody.
You pay $9.99, you got your money's worth.
That's right. They're giving their all here. I believe later on in this pay per view, Jeff Jarrett's going to confront the Bullet, who might be Bob Armstrong under a mask. We'll see. I'm not making that, folks. I swear I'm not making any of this up. You can go to Impact Plus if you don't believe me. I believe they give you the first 30 days free. Okay. I think everybody gives you the first 30 days free. Okay, one.
Yeah.
They have a channel on Pluto. So if you can't get enough Impact, you go to Pluto, and there's like a 24-hour running feed of old Impact shows and episodes and stuff. It's amazing.
As long as you can pass a mental health test first.
To watch Impact?
Yeah, before you watch a month of Impact.
Okay.
Do you know who doesn't give you the first 30 days free?
Who's that?
Ken and Tex Petcare of Bangor, Maine.
Thank you.
I got bills to pay, kids.
That's right. Hey, you work for a living. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
Oh, there we go. Oh, I think Ron Killings has him pinned. Wow, that was... I know he didn't have his shoulders down for a three count, but nobody cares because it's time for the match to end anyway. Oh, there's Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, look,
Jeff Jarrett in a purple shirt. Jeff Jarrett is wearing a purple tank top, folks. This is the sort of content you only get in the bonus match. Wow.
I should have gone with Kamala.
Yeah, well, that's for the Patreon people. Patreon folks get a Kamala match. That's a draw. All right, patreon.com/waybackplayback. It's as little as $4.50 a month. Ad free access. Oh, there we go. Ron Killings and Jeff Jarrett going in. And that's Brian Christopher. They're calling him Brian Lawler because that's his actual name.
Wow. I wrestled Brian Christopher once.
You did?
I did.
Oh,
he gave me a big wedgie.
That sounds about right.
Yep.
At least you didn't spike your drink. I'm just saying.
Not that I remember.
All right, so wait a minute. So the NWA Championship match was just a setup for Brian Christopher to beat up Jeff, to fight with Jeff Jarrett. That sounds about right, actually.
This is pretty much TNA in a nutshell at this point.
Oh no! He accidentally hit Ron Killings with a chair. Oh my goodness, we've set up a feud between Brian Christopher and Ron Killings for the NWA title because we're idiots. Okay. And there goes Monty Brown and I don't think you can get those TNA security shirts anymore.
You've got a young Larry Dallas there holding back Brian Christopher.
Okay, you can sign up now for a 30-day trial or not. Okay, thank you. The bonus match, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back in a moment with the main stuff. Yep. All right, so here's where we are, folks. It is SummerSlam 2002 on Sunday, August 25th, 2002, at the Nassau Coliseum in front of 14,797 people. Now, before this, WWF ran two shows on WWE. Okay. Two shows on Saturday, August the 24th. The SmackDown crew was in Albany, New York, in front of a crowd of 3,500 people. On that show, it was Brock Lesnar defeating Rikishi. And in the main event, the team of Edge and John Cena defeated the team of Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. Sean?
WWE in 02.
Yep. All right. Meanwhile, over on Raw, the Raw crew was in Trenton, New Jersey, in front of a whopping 1,500 people, where they got to see the Un-Americans successfully defend the tag team titles against Booker T and Goldust. And in the main event, it was the Intercontinental Champion Rob Van Dam pinning Chris Jericho. 1,500 people. That can't be good. That, in fact, was really bad. Okay, the show that we did the bonus match for just minutes ago, NWA TNA pay-per-view number 10, happened August 21st, which is Wednesday night in Nashville, Tennessee. In addition to the Ron Killings-Monty Brown match, there was a four-way dance for the X Division title. Loki defeats Amazing Red, Joel Maximo, and Jose Maximo in a four-way dance. And Loki was pretty good back then. He was not a friendly guy to deal with necessarily, but he was pretty good back then. And the main event, Jerry Lynn and AJ Styles in three stages of hell. The third stage of Hell in a Cell was a 10-minute Iron Man match, which went to a draw. Good job, TNA. Way to go. Ring of Honor, maybe Sean will remember this. Their big show was Saturday, August 24th, was Honor Invades Boston. It took place in Wakefield, Massachusetts, in front of 500 people. On that show, Brian Danielson fought Donovan Morgan to a 15-minute draw. And in the main event, Loki successfully defended the ROH Championship, his second title defense, defeating AJ Styles. Meanwhile, over in Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah on Sunday the 25th, they were in Takarazawa in front of 2,000 people. The main event was a six-man tag with the team of Vader, Bison Smith, and Richard Slinger defeating Misawa, Takuma Sano, and Kenta. And 0-1 was in Kyoto. 3,100 people turned out to see Nathan Jones in the main event in a six-man tag. Yes, there's a story going around the wrestling media that weekend that New Japan is trying to steal Nathan Jones from 0-1, but unfortunately for them, he ended up going to WWE. Yeah. Okay. Pro Wrestling News at this time. WWE had trouble during its quarterly conference call. They were trying to explain why that quarter they had a 40% drop in live attendance. At least they weren't having to explain a 100% drop in live attendance, Sean.
Some things never change.
Yeah, I guess so. Meanwhile, the rumor that actually the word was out already in the Wrestling Observer that Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle would face each other at WrestleMania 19, which did happen, by the way. Other news, Tiger Ali Singh sued WWE for $8 million for breach of contract and racial harassment. I don't remember what came of that. I somehow don't remember him winning the $8 million.
No.
Okay. All right, so
he
here
just
we
went
are.
Away.
SummerSlam 2002 on the WWE Network. We're at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. I have a black screen. Sean, black screen?
I have to hit resume because I went onto a standby. I'm heading back.
Okay.
And
Jim,
give me
a
second.
Do you have a black screen? Okay, thank you, Jim.
Jim, we got it, buddy.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, so everybody, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, there we are. Welcome to SummerSlam. It's the biggest party of the summer. Yes. I don't think they're calling it that yet. All right. The SummerSlam spinning disc. And there we are, Nassau Coliseum. This is probably as good as Nassau Coliseum's ever looked. Somebody's saying that Rey Mysterio delivers his paper. Or maybe it was Dominic Mysterio. I don't know. It just says Mysterio.
This would get people canceled on Twitter in 2020.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Long Island. Oh, yeah.
I was supposed to go to this show. I wasn't able to make it, and I had to eat the tickets too. So the show sold out in like 24 minutes. So that was fun.
There's the world at Times Square. Everybody,
you ever go there, Pat?
What, no, no.
I went there a couple times.
Oh, okay.
Mankind ice cream sundae and all that good stuff.
All right.
Went there once.
One of the greatest Titantrons of all time. All right, there he is. Kurt Angle.
Whoa, Jim, coming at it hot and heavy. All right, let's see. Jim Valley states, Kurt Angle taking a break from his shift at the hospital as a candy striper.
There we go. All right. Yeah, that's actually not one of my favorite bits of Kurt Angle gear. Yeah. So I gotta agree with Jim on this. Michael
looks
Cole
like a popcorn box.
There we go. Dick Dog is in the is holding up a sign behind Cole and Taz. Okay. Here we go. It's Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio. This is only their second match against each other and their first televised match. So we're here for history being made.
It's not an eye for an eye match.
Oh, here we go. No, it's not. He's sneaking up behind him. And I guess he's dressed as a baked potato. I don't know what this is. Oh, man. Okay. I mean, but you're starting out hot, though. Jimmy Cordero's your referee.
I had him on once when I subbed for you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah, he had a good book.
Yes, he did. He's a good guy. Oh, no, he's going for the ankle lock, right? Okay, right.
Wow.
I don't have the volume turned up too high right now, but this crowd is, like, super hot.
They're jacked, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good... Yeah, I mean, you know what? The TV leading into this wasn't all that great, but, I mean, people were ready for this show.
It was just, everyone was jazzed for HBK, you know, just so excited.
Right. That's true. There was that. And, people figured out that, yes, Jim.
Jim wants us to know that he liked Captain America's old outfit better.
Well, yep, that's true.
Yeah.
With the shield, yes. All right, here we go. Back into the ring. We go with Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio. All right. Yeah, that's just jam packed there. All right. We're gonna get the SummerSlam's gonna be taking place in an arena in 2020. Really?
Yeah.
Yep. In the Amway Arena, I've been to the Amway Arena. It had people in it at the time, but yeah.
What's the plan now? They're gonna digitally impose the fans into the seats. Is that the idea?
Yes. If you go back to episode 220 of Wayback Playback, where we covered the AWA Team Challenge Series pilot, I'm expecting it's gonna look something like that. All right, there we go.
Wow.
That might have been too inside for some of you. All right. Here we go. Oh.
This reminds you how long they've been trying the book brand split stuff for. I can't believe it's been
18 years.
Over 18 years.
That's right. This is the first brand split SummerSlam. But they, I mean, they, you know, they had loaded rosters then. You got it. I mean, say what, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that the TV wasn't great, but, you know, this show is packed with Hall of Fame talent. Okay. Including our main event this week, which will be Eddie Guerrero and Edge. Yes, this will be Jim checking in.
Wow, Jim is on fire tonight. He states, you can tell this is a long time ago, as the guy in the front row is wearing a Taz shirt.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Oh, let's go back. Okay, moving him back. All right, so we've slowed it down now. And Mysterio's getting stretched. But, I mean, at this time, you can make the argument that Kurt Angle is possibly the best wrestler in the world. And here and for a pretty good chunk of 2003, too.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, so of course he was in the opening match. So. But yeah, I mean the roster started to thin out. Yeah.
What was his last match? 2019. It's hard to believe he was still competitive in the ring up until
last year. He didn't work quite the same, but yeah. Oh, that's a nice move. Okay. Well, if Rikishi was here, he'd probably be upset with that sign. So. All right. There we go. Working the leg.
Yeah. Before Angle debuted, I saw him in a dark match at a Raw taping. That was pretty, and I had heard good things about him, and I just remember how impressive he was, and he certainly delivered on his potential. For the most part, except, the comedy stuff didn't do him any favors, but he was damn good for a few years there for him.
Oh yeah, I mean the problem is he was good at the comedy stuff, and when they figure out that you're good at the comedy stuff, they give you more.
That's the curse of Vince.
Yep. That's funny. That's great stuff. Yeah. Plus, he came off of, they were doing a run with him and Steve Austin in 2001 where both of them were injured, but and they wanted to have him on the show, so you got comedy.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it was funny stuff, but, you know, it's kind of hard to transition into Angle being on top and Angle being a killer.
Yeah.
And there's the Angle slip chance.
We had all the headgear stuff and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Angle headlined SummerSlam in 2001. And it's just... And down he went. All right. Oh, there we go.
Okay, they were... They're actually able to light the whole venue.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's nice. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Long Island this week, or at least until the Capitals series with the Islanders finishes up. Oh, there we go. He's got the straps down. That should be the finish. Hold on.
Yes, Jim. Jim states that watching at home, a young Seth Rollins is blaming the fans for this match.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Because of the fans.
Yep.
At Jim Bell. Yeah, I'm sorry that Jim didn't get to host Wrestling Observer Radio yesterday.
Yeah.
All right. Stiffy is apparently there's a shout out to Stiffy going on in the. It was a simpler age. Okay. Oh, here we go.
Mysterio's put out all the. Hold on.
Oh, come on, Jim. Boo! Oh, this is. There we go.
So he can be a prop.
Yep. It worked. Is there shag carpeting in the aisle? What the heck was that? Oh, something.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sure.
used to be their entrance.
All right, yeah. Hey.
The budget's opened up quite a bit since.
When I was a kid, we used to bump on shag carpeting in the house, so it works. Boom! There we go. No! Oh, man. Yeah, Ray is a little upset. Yeah, but I mean, this is, yeah, younger Rey Mysterio and younger Kurt Angle is good stuff. And I'm, you know, not to complain about Rey Mysterio in 2020. The amazing thing is, in 2020, Rey Mysterio is a promo guy.
And muscular-wise, he's as big as Kurt Angle now.
Well, that's true.
As he was at this time.
Right. Oh, here we go. That's a 619. That crabby people are just going nuts here.
It's a good match.
Yes, it is. No! Oh. Now, these are two of the infamous SmackDown 6. We'll get two more of them later on in this hour. And Paul Heyman booking and having matches like this is what made, you know, SmackDown on WWE television worth watching in the fall of 2002. I mean, some of the stuff was crap, but you knew you were probably going to get a good main event at the end of the 2 hours.
Yeah, the wrestling on TV during that period was really good at times. You got some good TV matches.
They still have good TV matches, you know, today. It's just what you have to sit through to get to them is, you know.
Oh.
You know.
The empty arena stuff is just
it's
killer.
Oh, here we go.
It's hard to believe. This really holds up 20 years later almost.
It does. Oh, wow. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, no complaints about this.
Which is really, because if you go back, 20, even 10 years from this.
Right. I mean,
light years.
Our listeners chose well. All right, there we go. Kurt Angle with the win in the opener. Everything. Right. Let's see. And so, 4 months later, he'd be champion again. Wow.
Gotcha, Jim. I'm with you. Jim has a good point. He says, years ago, we were worried about Ray's knees holding up when we should have been worried about his eye.
That's true. All right,
he's not
Pork.
Wrong.
Pork is in the crowd. Let's see that again. They're not missing. Yeah, 2002, they're not missing any shots here on camera.
The camera seems less shaky back
there. Everything's on point. Whoa. All right. There's nobody taking 5 minutes to fight out of the ankle lock either. All right. Ray's still, yep. The facial expressions, that's pretty, even through the mask, that's very good. Oh, look, it's Stephanie McMahon. This is what SmackDown's all about. Yes. Yeah. Go tell Eric Bischoff to top that. There's the general manager. Well,
look who we have here.
Eric Bischoff's waiting on the love seat. Oh yeah, it'll be a couple months before they make out. That's right, I forgot. I like it. They just randomly made out one episode, and they just dropped the whole thing. I'm guessing that they made out, and then after the show, Stephanie went up to Vince and said, "Dad, I'm not feeling it."
Yeah, that was dropped pretty quick after that.
Yeah, you'll notice that. Yeah, that got dropped. The entire Stephanie and Vince working an I Quit match and feuding together, that took forever. Figure. Oh, they're going to sit down and watch the next match together. How nice. Okay. Oh, there's Lawler and Ross.
Jim is confused. He wrote, "Wait, you can watch WWE without standing to the side of the television?"
Yes, yes. Back then,
he has a point. Okay, yeah. All right.
Oh, you can see the little monitors there on the desks.
Huh.
It wasn't in HD back then.
No, it really wasn't. Oh, here we go.
When HD hit, they had to watch it sideways.
Yep, that was it. There he is. It's Jericho time. Late champion is making his way to the ring. Or whatever his gimmick is, I don't know. Yep, still a good entrance. I mean, you can't really sing along to it, but, yeah. Yes, remember, heel Jericho, beard. Face Jericho, no facial hair. At least during the WWE era.
He doesn't have that Japanese main event body, either.
No, he doesn't. Got the ponytail, though. Oh, yes, the match everybody's waiting for. Chris Jericho and Ric Flair, folks.
This is a great promo package here. Just because
Flair is nuts. Flair and a golf Flair. I kind of like that. You know,
here it is. He gets gigged and then he's
Fozzie.
Just...
There's Fozzie. Oh, there we go. Oh no, Ric Flair interrupted the Fozzie concert. Oh my God. There we go.
Bleeding like crazy. There it is. This is actually footage from Sturgis last weekend.
Yep. Perfect. Yes, Jim.
Okay. Oh, man. Jim Valley is kind of outraged, Sean. You walked all over his joke. He stated, too bad Ric Flair didn't do that to the Fozzie concert in Sturgis.
Oh, there you go. Tell Jim it's better than me walking all over his jokes. So.
Yeah, I'm letting him know now.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll look at that robe. Boy, he looks young. He looks really young.
Jim actually, he didn't send me a notification on this one for whatever reason, but he just let me know. Did you know that in the weeks leading up to this match, these two guys were fighting with one another over the finish of the match, over who was going to lose, because neither one wanted to beat the either one. Neither guy wanted to win.
I remember Wade reporting that, and I think Meltzer reported that too. Yeah, no, that's
isn't that incredible?
Flair was ready to put over guys, and Jericho didn't want to beat Flair in a major show. Yeah, just a lot of mutual respect.
Now, what happened was Bruce convinced Flair to go over to get revenge on Jericho for. Not paying for a Subway sandwich back in the day.
Ah, okay. Well, that's true. Flair was slapped to the face. Yeah, I mean,
I can't believe how much he's aged in 20 years.
People age in 20 years. I mean, but you can believe how much Chris Jericho aged in 20 years, right?
Yeah, I guess okay. so. Just started thinking of Flair on Raw.
Somebody letting you know that Flair is old. Boy, that guy's in for a surprise.
Not to step on you guys, but Flair looks awesome here. He looks great. And at the time, I thought he was so far past his prime, which he was, of course. But still.
Looks really good.
Charles Robinson is your referee.
It was so long ago, Chris Jericho still had his pecs.
Wow. And Flair takes a backdrop because, you know, somebody has to, I guess. Because if Ric Flair doesn't take a backdrop, nobody's going to take a backdrop.
One more interjection I want to make. I don't know if you guys just heard on commentary, but Jim Ross was stating that Jericho should not quit his day job in reference to his performance with Fozzie.
And you know what? That's still as true in 2020 as it was in 2000.
Absolutely. He was correct then, and he's correct now.
Yes.
There's one Fozzie song I like, and I bet you can guess what it is.
Yeah. That's probably the one that I sang several episodes ago. So. Oh, look at that. think I do have a song parody for this show, but it's not coming up for another couple of weeks, so you people have time to avoid it. All right. Flair. Yeah. Oh, they're both wearing black, though. Yeah, it's a bit of a faux pas. Oh, yeah, this is when Jericho's calling himself the King of the World. Because, you know, I guess you need a new nickname every year. How come I never did a new nickname every year? There we go, up and over! Alright.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ross points out that Jericho was 2 years old when Flair made his debut. Back in 73, I think it was.
Jeez.
Yep, there we go. Oh, no, not the barricade. Oh, no, that's the hardest part of the barricade right there, Sean.
Question for either one of you that can answer this. I suppose I could Google it myself. Who is older, Flair in this match or Jericho today? They're roughly the same age, aren't they?
I would guess, yeah. Oh, jeez. Well, Flair today.
I'd have to Google it.
No, that's not the question. No, it's. I think it's Flair. It's Flair in 2002. Yeah. Reasonably sure. Yeah, Flair's over, because Flair's over 50 at this point.
Okay.
I'd be hard pressed to believe that Jericho went on to become a main event heel in Japan and AEW.
I mean, I would if you'd told me in 2002 that Jericho would be headlining in 2020, I wouldn't have believed it. You know, I'd figured,
no,
I'd figured he'd be retired.
Especially the way he was booked in WWE before he, you know, stepped out to Japan.
Well, that's true. The people who claimed that it was a conspiracy theory that Triple H held Jericho down, it wasn't a conspiracy theory. That's what happened.
He's what was he on his last WrestleMania putting Fandango over? Is that what?
Yeah,
it
that's right. Maybe. I remember that. Yeah, yeah, man. Boy, did that pay off.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, not the turn. Oh, the turnbuckle pad. Yeah.
Okay, I've done the Googling.
He's got the tape.
Chris Jericho today is 49.
Wishes.
And Ric Flair at this time was 53.
See?
So. You're correct.
Yep. Good look. I mean, he doesn't look 53. Okay, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he'll...
He's got that cool uncle, that party vibe kind of thing going.
Well, he still has... Yeah. Now he just has the uncle that parties, but... Oh, Rick. He's the king of the world. Here we go. Oh, no. All right. Okay, there we go. Suplex time. Okay, work over the back.
Not quite the pacing of the opener here,
no,
but
it's not,
still not
but
bad.
You're not gonna, yeah, but no. You're not gonna do that. Plus, it's Ric Flair, so he can. So, the Ric Flair pace is going to work.
No, it's just we're a couple years ahead of his hardcore phase that he went through
mid
2000s.
Yeah, we'll probably get 2006 was when he did nearly got himself killed against Edge. So, we'll be eligible to cover that 15 years. Yeah, we'll probably have that at some point next year.
You did one against Mankind at a SummerSlam that I was there live for.
That's right.
Pretty
brutal,
too.
That was a heck of a thing to watch.
Yeah.
Alright. Oh.
That was his three-quarter life crisis, I guess.
Something like that.
Pat, you're a little staticky over there. I don't know.
I'm sorry, I'm a little staticky. Okay.
That's all right.
All right. Here we go. One, two. Oh, only two. All right. Somebody bothered to write a sign of about how sexy Triple H is. That's nice. Okay. Yep, here we go. Oh, I was going to turn him over. It's the Walls of Jericho. Now, yeah, there was somebody on his cell phone, like, waving. Yeah. This is before smartphones, kids. People actually had to watch the matches.
I don't know how I made it throughout my life without the cell phone.
I don't either.
I made it through high school.
I made
it through high school and most of college.
Yeah, I did. I made it through all of college.
Yeah.
I made it through with a lot less stress and anxiety.
I covered the Rolling Stones concert at Clemson, and they gave me a cell phone to go back to, you know, to check in back at the station to, you know, at the radio station. The cell phone was like a briefcase. I'm old, okay? All right, there we go. Anyway, I'm older than
like
Sean.
Like Paul Heyman's phone.
I'm older than Sean, but not as old as Bruce Mitchell.
Oof.
That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Oh, Flair working the leg. Oh, yeah. Flair's older than Bruce Mitchell. That's how old Flair is. There we go.
That's one you can fool people with.
Yeah. We're all getting older. I mean, one of the great things about this show is, you know, the younger generation is, you know, I find it hard to believe that people haven't seen this stuff, but they're out there.
Yeah.
Love them. Come on, Flair. Yeah.
I think he wants to turn over so he can gig.
Yeah, of course. He's going to be right in the ropes, too. Ah, no. Ah, God, no!
To be fair, Ric Flair would gig at, like, a Christmas concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
He gigged at a Fozzy concert. So he's definitely
that's right. He did. We saw it.
That's one of the most hilarious. I had no memory of that until I rewatched it earlier.
I didn't know. No, it.
You
thought that was the finish. It
I
wasn't
broke
the finish.
Out dying.
Oh, you can't shove little Nate. That's not going to end well.
That ain't okay.
No, it's not.
What does he think this is? New Japan?
No, it's not. Oh, ooh. Yep. Uh-oh. Tweaks his leg, and there. Now we go to school. Woo. All right.
Oh.
Oh, no. Charles Robinson bumps.
Of course he had to get a bump in. There you go.
Ah, the low blow.
Might have telegraphed that a little bit, Rick.
You think?
His literal finish in the WCW game was a low blow.
People didn't want to boo Ric Flair. And I know Flair likes being a heel, but, you know, people, yes.
I'm on it, Jim. I got you, buddy. Jim shares a fun fact. This is the 20th match Ric Flair has ever won.
That's about right. All right, Ric Flair, your winner at SummerSlam.
17 title wins and 3 singles. Right.
That's about right. Just felt that way. People love Ric Flair.
Can you believe this whole show is only 2 hours and 41 minutes? I mean,
I know. How can you have
WWE was giving
how can you have a pay per view in under 6 hours? My goodness.
Well, they've cut it down during the COVID, but
I know
they were giving us a good 6-7 hours, you know, and I appreciate that content because I really want to see the whole roster in one night.
Yep, everybody does.
Especially the 205 Live guys. I mean, gotta fit them in.
They definitely need to get in. They definitely need to get their stuff in. We need more Ever-Rise. That's what we need. All right. Yeah. Flair's your winner. Boy, wow. Yep. Okay. Oh, no. Well, I'm sure there'll be a follow-up to this on Raw the next night. Oh, there he is, Brock Lesnar. And who's that guy?
See, they're watching TV sideways.
Yep. They're watching standard definition TV. Not even a flat screen.
Jim wants to know who that skinny guy with Brock Lesnar is.
No fooling. He's sort of, that's Paul Heyman. He's sort of in that in-between phase. Yeah.
Might be Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah. I don't know. Not puffy enough for Bruce Pritchard yet. Yeah. When's Heyman getting a podcast, by the way?
Jim points out it's an interesting timestamp. This is so many tattoos ago. This show was so many tattoos ago.
Oh, gosh, yeah. There he is. Brock Lesnar, the same guy. All right, here we are. Home of the Islanders. Boo.
You got to be a tough guy to paint a giant sword on your chest and do MMA.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it turns out he was pretty tough, yeah. Okay. Latino Heat. All right.
What a gorgeous venue that is.
Our main event of the hour. Oh, and this is a good one, too.
Uh-oh, there's another person that wants to get kicked off of Twitter.
Yep. There it is, Mullen again. How have I not been kicked off Twitter yet? All right. SmackDown sucks, watch Raw. Lovely. All right. Okay. Eddie Guerrero. Jesus has risen and his name is Brock Lesnar. No, that's actually not what has happened. I'm sorry.
Signs were so much better back then.
Yeah. Well, people took some time then. Oh, Eddie has smelly feet. Well, there you go. They're not all. They weren't all winners, I guess.
Did you guys ever go to WWF shows like in the late 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was almost impossible to see the ring. People held up so many damn signs.
Oh, yeah.
So
bad. I remember that.
The signage was off the hook.
The Rob Zombie theme song by Ed. That's an amazing. That's an amazing jacket.
Yep. All right. Let's see what Jim S. say.
Jim knows his fashion.
Good point. Jim states it's a battle of Vicky Guerrero's husbands.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Boy.
Who knew Edge would go on to star in Money Plane that was just released on video on demand and digital download?
Oh, good for it. I gotta watch that. Okay, maybe I
with Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, Edge,
read my review. You change your mind.
Edge and Kelsey Grammer in a movie together. I, you know. Now I've seen everything.
That's a matchup I didn't know we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so bad. It's good. You got to see this one.
Okay, I will. Ramon, no good.
It's definitely worth the watch.
All right, Edge and Eddie. Yep. Yeah, this
just a
is
little
one of
better
the,
than that.
This
though.
Is one of those shows where pretty much everything hit.
Yeah, this is a really good.
This is the good stuff.
Yeah. Brian Hebner.
Oh, that's right. Hey, Brian. Okay. I'm glad Mike Chioda got work in AEW. By the way, I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking getting rid of him, but go. There we go. All right. Eddie's
not jacked and 20 years old anymore.
Yep. Eddie's quick.
AEW signed Mike Chioda?
Yep. Huh. Yep, I know.
Maybe they can let Joey Janela out of his contract now? I mean,
I don't know. They let Jimmy Havoc out of his contract.
Oh, did they?
Yes, okay. They did.
I think Joey would like to keep his last year of his six-figure deal before he goes somewhere else.
That's true.
I'm just saying Kyoto spends more time in the gym than Joey Janela does.
Well, you say that.
I don't know. Janela was working out with the dirty daddy Chris Dickinson during COVID, but I think that, I don't know, the workout videos stopped after a while.
Oh, you don't see
that.
Oh, there's a spear. All right, there we go. Hey. Yeah, I mean,
only less than a Big East beer.
That's true. Yeah, 2002 and 2000, we were wondering for a while whether Edge would ever, you know, get over the hump, really. And they treat him like a main eventer. And they finally did, and all he had to do was, cheat on his wife, Lita. I think that was it. I think that's pretty much what it took.
I always say, yeah, when in doubt, violate the trust of your loved ones.
That's and pro wrestling. Yeah, that seems to be the way to go.
It totally fit his character too, and it just sure really took off from there.
Yeah, so that's how you become the rated R superstar.
And this is why I go to bed every night with two cats and a dog. Sorry.
I don't know. I don't know why that is, Ken. He's single, ladies.
It does sound like a Tinder profile. You might not want to swipe by.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you got up there in Maine. So you know,
a lot of meth and bath salts.
I don't think that's exclusive to Maine. Just so you know. All right. I'm sorry that SummerSlam's not in Boston so Radican can see it. But
I am disappointed about that.
I mean, I know you'd rather see that Drew McIntyre Randy Orton match in person, but there we go.
Yeah.
Sean, what part of New England are you from?
I'm in Rhode Island.
Yep. Okay, what part of Rhode Island?
Okay. Cranston.
Okay. I used to date a girl in Woonsocket, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, sort of.
All right. Oh, Edge is in pain.
The spicy area.
Well, no, she was very much a product of her area.
Okay. I don't know. I got to admit, I've never dated a girl from Woonsocket, so I'm missing part of the humor here.
Sean
there
is
once
clearly
was a girl
Ben.
From Woonsocket.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right.
I won't finish the rest.
That's probably for the best. Jim is apparently going to finish the limerick. I don't.
Jim is going to save that from us.
Thank you.
Save us from. Oh no! Jim states referee Justin Timberlake is doing an outstanding job.
I would agree.
He's right.
With that.
Yep. He's right.
He wants them to cry him a river. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just gonna have to finish this to see Shawn Michaels come out with brown pants.
Oh yeah, well that's 2 weeks, folks. That's 2 weeks from today on this show. Episode 312 will be Michaels and Triple H, and that's gonna be. And I really hope not that you're not doing a great job, Kim, but I hope Jim's voice is back by then.
It would be nice to have the tag team champions of time and space reunited.
Yes, it would.
Podcat, whatever your line
especially
is, forgive
for
me.
Especially in time for the new fall season. Yeah,
that's right.
That's great. Oh, yeah, the sixth anniversary episode is coming up in 3 weeks, Labor Day weekend. And by the way, listeners, start thinking of what you want for that show because that's going to be something. Yeah. Two. Here we go. Oh, no.
This is just really good stuff all around.
It is.
Like, even just the way they work the rest holds and the crowd gets pumped up and they just know they just have the pacing down.
I mean, yeah, this was a match I wasn't necessarily expecting to be great, but yeah, they were, you know, they were ready.
Yeah, I mean.
I've forgotten how much time they spent in like, the second half of 2002 trying to get Edge to that next level.
Quite a bit. It seemed like it took. Well, like we already said, it took a few more years.
Rey Mysterio, that helped a lot. That was some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep. Oh, there we go. Right. And it's good to have Sean finally on the. Sean's finally done way back playback after 6 years.
I can't believe I haven't done one yet.
Well, hey. Yeah, you know, came close a couple times, but here you are in the big time. Oh. Yay. All right. One of the hottest podcasts in the history of Australia. All right. Both men are down. And everybody's trying to get on camera. That's right.
There's actually some empty seats in the hard camera.
I don't know what that is. You know, they're like we're going to get snacks now before, you know, I don't know.
But it's always a gamble. Good stuff starts,
yeah. It is.
I mean, this is a good show. You don't know exactly when the popcorn match is. I would have probably chosen the next match to get some beverages.
Yeah. But that's true.
But then, you know, you'd miss JR and King almost getting blown up by Booker T's pyro, which is my favorite moment of the show.
Spoiler alert. Something to look forward to next week. There we go. And, nope. That hard to get the leverage with that body Edge has.
You know, I'm so used to the guys suplexing each other over the ropes now that when a guy just dumps them over the ropes, I'm like, why didn't you go with him?
Yeah, you know? I know. Business has changed, but it's not a. I mean, there's nothing there. I haven't seen anything wrong with any of what we've watched tonight.
No.
Well, with the possible exception of let's see. Well, actually, you know what the. The bonus match was, Well, Ron Killings and Monty Brown was good, too.
I'll tell you the problem that I've seen with the action we've watched tonight, Pat.
What's that, Kim?
There's only been, like, three dives.
Oh, that's right.
If AEW has taught me anything, it's that every match is supposed to have a good baker's dozen dives within the first 35 to 40 seconds.
You're right. Yeah. Mark Henry versus Kamala, dives.
That's right.
You and Wade Keller would get along.
We're both pedantic and insufferable.
I mean,
Ken
is a Torch subscriber for a while. So
I am. Yeah. I love the Torch.
Yes, he does. So there you go.
I've been a Torch subscriber since 1995.
He even listens to your show, Sean.
That is very
He doesn't
true.
Like those dives. He's an anti-diver.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I tend to agree that the dives are a bit much at a certain point.
Seriously,
go onto our store on Spreadshirt. Pick up an "I'm a Headlock Guy" shirt. We've got them.
Well, I gotta save up and buy one of those new Torch logo shirts.
Those are fire! I'll tell you. All right, there we go. Oh wow, that was good. Although I don't know. And that was a heck of a drop kick there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Eddie was ridiculously good.
Edge. All right. Oh. Yeah, I love that's the thing I miss. Edge having like 300 different moves, all of them having names.
The Executioner.
Yes. Cutting Edge, a downward spiral.
The Cutting Edge. Okay. Back when wrestling games were fun to play, too.
Yeah, you know, that's another issue. But yeah. Back when they had college football in the fall. Oh, I'm sorry.
They just, I think basketball's getting canceled, too.
Really? I haven't been paying attention, but yeah.
My alma mater bowed out today.
I'm sorry. All right, here we go.
Providence College.
They're going up on the top rope. Something's going to happen.
Well, the Red Sox are 6-13, so I am more than happy with them canceling MLB this year.
Oh, jeez, Sam.
Yeah.
I'm glad the Red Sox victory tour, though. So I'm glad. the shoulder. Oh, jeez. Only two.
Yeah, this is the interesting story was Edge had tried to spear Kurt Angle in a cage match, I guess, shortly before this. So this is why Eddie is working over his shoulder throughout the match.
All right. Well, you know, that's shoulder. You can always work over a shoulder injury. It's got. Oh no! Oh, very nice.
Or an arm,
very
like,
nice, Eddie. Oh
my goodness!
This is every WrestleMania main event finish.
Right, there's a spear. And Edge is your winner. All right.
I think what was holding Edge back was he's still wearing the Edge and Christian necklace. He needed to break away from his old look.
You know what they needed? They needed to be bracelet buddies. That would have been got them over. Edge and Christian. All right. Oh, there it is, a spear. Ah. All right. Two, three. Okay. That's your win. Wow, so.
I still can't get over how, like, I can't the get camera work is. Edge
being back
so,
in 2020. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, this is an ad for the World Bodybuilding Federation, I guess. I don't know.
Do you have a favorite WBF body star, Pat?
Lou Ferrigno.
Well, come on now.
I mean, Lou Ferrigno. I mean, come on.
He never even competed in the WBF.
Exactly.
Okay. They were like, "Hey, we're going to have to."
WWE never ends. That's true. Let's talk to the
tepid hash line.
Jonathan Coachman, Christian. They're un-American. So in 2020, they'd be the baby faces, right?
Yes.
Okay, pretty much. Yes. They'd be Antifa.
At least Edge got a better push than Christian after they broke
that's
up.
That's true. For a while, yeah. Actually, pretty much forever.
Yeah.
Until Edge retired. But they have the good tag belts though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think this is where we're going to wrap this for the week after this promo. I'm amazed they didn't sell more of those shirts. Yeah. Thank you, Coach. All right, there we go. That's that. We're going to pause it. 48 minutes, 39 seconds.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platform. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track, Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com. Outstanding. Ooh, ooh. The first hour of SummerSlam 2002 is in the books. And, boy, next week we kick it off with the Un-Americans defending the tag team titles against Booker T and Goldust. Wow, that's going to be something. All right. So, yeah, hopefully we'll have Jim back in some form or another. Ken, thank you very much for stopping by and telling us.
Totally my pleasure.
Ken and Tex, Pet Care of Bangor, Maine. And how can people get in touch with you again?
KenAndTek. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, or KenAndTek.com.
Okay, and Sean Radican, he still works over at Pro Wrestling Torch. Sean, how can everybody keep track of you?
At SR_Torch on Twitter.
Okay. Also, I'm guessing the Torch website, too.
Yeah, the Torch. We currently have a 99-cent special, so if you want to sign up for the SummerSlam season, head on over to pwtorch.com. Tons of audio with Bruce Mitchell, Todd Martin, Wade Keller, myself, the Radican Worldwide, looking at, you know, Japan, the Indies, and everything fun you could imagine on WWE, AEW, and so forth. We have a awesome special right now, so head on over to the site and check that out.
Absolutely. All right. And, of course, if you'd like to know more about Chris Jericho, the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle, or Charles Robinson, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or the Wrestling Observer. Normally you could head down to the local library, but I wouldn't this time. Ken, do you have Jim's line?
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait.
Uh-huh. Okay, you got it.
Let's see what Jim has okay, to Jim. Say. Oh, okay. Jim simply states, same way back time, same playback channel. Thank you, Jim.
All right, that is where we'll be next week. And, boy, next week also on the show, some guy named Rob Van Dam. I'm told he's pretty popular. Plus The Undertaker against Test. You don't want to miss that. Until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.